The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with an absolute classic. LeBron and Steph live up to the hype and go down to the wire. We're all over it. Plus, where have all the hits gone? Another no-no. We'll tell you exactly why this is happening and exactly what it means. Plus, the truth hurts. Jalen speaks, but does the plan in Philadelphia make any sense at all? All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. On a Thursday, Greeny in New York, we're jam-packed. And oh, by the way, within the last half hour, little transaction in the National Football League. Tim Tebow has signed with Jacksonville. Details to come, but we begin the only place we can, game of the night, maybe the game of the year, when you consider everything in its totality. The 7th seed, the Lakers, the 8th seed, the Warriors, the play-in game, it's LeBron and Steph. Second quarter, Steph Curry starting hot. Curry working on LeBron and gets it to go. Steph 6 of 9 from 3 on the night. Final seconds of the half. Curry working around the defense. Oh, how does he find the room? Warriors by 13 at halftime. Third quarter now. Warriors up by 9. And more from Steph Curry. He just wouldn't go away. He would score 37 on 23 shots. Last night, Warriors take a 12-point lead. But just over a minute left in the third now. Lakers working their way back. LeBron started cold. Now he's heating up. Ensuing possession. We're turning defense into offense. Kuzma, Davis, Anthony Davis, all by himself. He would score 25. Lakers, a two-point lead after three. What a game. Early fourth now. Lakers lead is still two. And LeBron, looking to heat up, would finish just 7 of 17 from the floor. But when they needed him, he was there, sizing up the defense. Can't stop him. Curry can't do anything but applaud. Under 9 minutes to go now. Warriors are down by 7. But Steph, not going away. It's a four-point game. 5 minutes left. Warriors down by 2. It's Steph. Just look, he's giving you the whole arsenal. We're tied at 93. 3 minutes to go. Warriors up by 1. Curry around his man. Gets it to fall. Golden State by 3. Just over 2 minutes to go. Lakers are down by 1. Alex Caruso. Watch LeBron go up. And watch Draymond Green take him down. Down to the ground. They would review it. They would rule it a common foul. And as you look at it again, you will see Draymond getting LeBron in the eye. LeBron would get the eye drops. He would stay in the game. He would knock down the free throw. So we're tied. A minute and a half left. Alex Caruso, the slip. Anthony Davis, the slam. It's a two-point Laker lead. 30 seconds later, tied at 100. Here's your moment. KCP looking for help. Shot clock at 2. Shot clock at 1. LeBron throws it up and it goes in. After being poked in the eye, he said he saw 3 rims. He shot at the middle one. And down it goes. Drake can't believe what he's seeing, but a clutch moment. Lakers up by 3. 2 seconds left. Same score. One last chance. Can they get it to Steph for a game-tying 3? That's the question, and the answer is no. LeBron finishes with 22. Steph with 37. Lots of respect, but it's the Lakers who advance. Steph Curry needs one more win to get into the playoffs. Oh, what a night. Let's talk.
You know, after, you know, Draymond finger to the eye, I was literally seeing three rims out there. So I just shot out the middle one, and I was able to, through the grace of the man above, I was able to knock it down.
It's a great shot. Broken play. I sunk in thinking, you know, he was kind of out of play, and they found him. He got his balance just in time and knocked it down. So, you know, that was a tough one because you don't really expect it to go in. All-time great players make great shots. That's what happens.
And so there's so much to get into, and he's just standing here spinning a basketball. It's Jay Will from KJZ on ESPN Radio and so much more. All right, let's start with the shot. I mean, LeBron with the poke in the eye and all of the drama and everything else that he knocks down.
Which rim was it?
Knocks down the 3.
Yeah, the one in the middle. Got it. Look, here's what you love about LeBron James. Yes, he's coming off injury, but he finds a way to be clutch. And the thing I love about the shot the most, Greeny, is do you see the look that Stephen Curry gives LeBron James after he makes that shot? Like, how ironic is that? That's the same kind of look that LeBron gave Stephen Curry. Every shot he shoots, the shot he shot before halftime, which went in, when he had a 15-point lead. I like the fact this was a grinded out type of game. Look, they held Stephen Curry to 37 points, if that even makes sense, right? And they limited other players. It's a big time win for them to clinch the seventh seed. And now they're going on to play the Phoenix Suns, where they will be the favorites, like we said before.
They are a prohibitive favorite. I mean, there's so much to unpack here, but let's do that. Since you brought us there, let's spin it forward to that. Were the Lakers that first half? I mean, a lot of people that went to bed at halftime last night thought to themselves, the Lakers are in trouble. Were their flaws on display last night as well as their strengths?
Every team has flaws. I mean, especially for the Lakers, two guys coming off injuries, where are they find that chemistry? Where is the outside shooting for the Lakers is a narrative that always follows this basketball team. But I like that they grind it out. And look, the one thing you know when you're going to play against Phoenix, the Banana Boat Boys will be back competing against each other, CP3. But the fact is, look, they're a young basketball team. This is a veteran basketball team. They should be the favorites.
Yeah, the Lakers look good. So how? They get a couple of days to rest now. They get their playoff legs under them before anybody else does. How far is LeBron going to take this team?
I think they go all the way to the world championship. I will give Frank Vogel a lot of credit last night because you can't play Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis together. AD needs to play to five. It gives them the versatility that they like. They can play Drummond. They can play Marc Gasol other times. Marc Gasol is actually a better passer, which helps him, by the way. But I like AD at the five because it gives them versatility on the perimeter defensively, too, with the way they have to guard pick and roll action with CP3. I'm telling you right now, heavy, heavy pick and roll action for CP3 in the series coming up.
And then let me spin it back to last night for a minute. And LeBron knocks down a big shot. Steph had the entire arsenal on display. After what was a very challenging second half to the regular season, how would you describe what last night, living up to the hype, meant to the NBA headed into the playoffs?
It was the payoff. It was why we have the play-in tournament. It was spectacular to watch. LeBron James, look, he doesn't want to be an 8 seed. Now you still have Stephen Curry in a battle with Ja Morant. That's a guard matchup dream for the two, with the way those two can compete. I love this for the league, and I love the fact that we got a big-time game last night to close it off.
It's actually fascinating because I like the play-in tournament because it makes the regular season games more important. But in reality, this turned out to be the best thing they could possibly have. Regardless of what it did for the regular season, last night starts off this two-month stretch with an absolute bang.
And I know Nikola Jokic is probably going to get it. Can we give this man the MVP? Seriously. I mean, the most entertaining person in sports. I mean, he's dancing. I can't even do the move. Look, I did it. Now I did it. Now I'm doing the move. He's doing all this kind of stuff. Greeny, I'm getting old, but he's doing all that kind of stuff with the ball. I can't even dribble the ball
That's
anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But if you flip that to me, I would knock down that three. All right, he is Jay Will going back across the hall. KJZ, ESPN Radio. Coast to coast. Thank you, Jay.
I'm getting old. Jesus.
In the meantime, where are my notes here? Oh, here we go. All right, so the Lakers, they go into this series against Phoenix as the seventh seed, but by no means an underdog. You see it there. The Lakers are a significant favorite at Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. Our stats and analytics tell us it's the first time in at least 30 years that the seventh seed has been favored over the two seed. And look who else is getting up with us this morning. PJ Carlissimo is here. Don't throw me any passes at this point, PJ. I've done all the playing that I can do. We talked about the Lakers' flaws there with Jay Will. Now let's talk about the strengths. What did you see from them in the second half that let them come back and win that game?
I saw Laker defense, Greeny, and that was the difference. Last year, as spectacular as they were in the bubble, I think they oftentimes didn't get credit for being what they were, the best defensive team in the NBA. You didn't see it in the first half. You saw the rust. You saw the problems. Jay Will talked about you had two players. But watch what they did in the second half. They turned the Golden State Warriors over. That was part of it, but what they did after the turnovers was more important. They got a turnover and they made them pay on the other end. They got their hands on so many passes. They were active. It seemed every time they got one, they got a good shot at the other end. Alex Caruso was fantastic with his passing, with his shot making. Kept him in the game in the first half. And, you know, Steve's there shaking his head. There's nothing you can do. His guys literally were having trouble making passes, running offense. In the first half, you had so many different Warriors knocking down threes, and it was the complimentary guys. In the second half, you didn't see that happening because of the defense. That was Laker defense.
And so if you're Chris Paul and you're watching that last night and you're getting ready to take this two-seeded Phoenix team that almost got all the way to the one seed this year, put together such an unbelievable season, and this is the reward that you get for sitting at number two. You get LeBron and the Lakers, who will be rested on Sunday. What do you think of that series looking ahead?
Well, I think, first of all, if you're Chris Paul and Monty Williams, you show them the first half. You don't show them the second half. You say, here, this is what we can do. We can score against these guys. Chris Paul knows what to do. Jay Will referenced they're going to be running pick and roll. There's no question about that. Devin Booker's going to be able to create some shots, as Steph did also. But it's the youth of that team overall versus the experience the Lakers have. The problem to me is I still saw a lot of rust. LeBron was out for a while. AD was out for a while. It was very evident. The perimeter shots were not there. In the second half, what did they do? They took it inside. They had dunks. They had layups. They attacked the rim. Dennis Schroeder showed the fact that he didn't play for a while. We saw all that rust. Last year, the other people that were playing for the Lakers contributed. That supporting cast has got to step up.
All right, so stay close, PJ. I want to bring you back. You had the other game last night, San Antonio-Memphis, and now Steph Curry's got to get through that just to get into the playoffs. We'll talk about that and more. Stay close by. We'll have more from PJ as we continue, and a whole lot more on the game today. You see, Big Perk is going to join us in 20 minutes, and then in our second hour today, don't miss them, together, Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley for the last half hour of our program today. You will not want to miss it. Complete coverage of an unbelievable night in the NBA is on the way. Oh, and then we've got to get to this. Another no-hitter last night. Why does one superstar say this is all bad for baseball? You will hear it. Plus, within the last hour, Tim Tebow officially signs with the Jaguars. So what comes next? What does this mean for his team and his league? Those are the questions, and we've got exactly the right people to give us the answers. Look who's gotten up with us this morning. Danny Graz, Damian Woody, Mel Kiper Jr. Oh, we're just getting started. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, as if we didn't have enough going on this morning, within the last 40 minutes, Adam Schefter reporting that Tim Tebow has signed a contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He will be on the field today as part of the team's offseason program. Tebow will be competing for a roster spot as a tight end. Now, when the news first broke last week that this was likely to happen, the reaction was enormous. Let's find out what the reaction is today. Dan Graziano, Damian Woody, Mel Kiper Jr. are with us early this morning. Graz, I'll start with you. What more can you tell us? Again, Shefty tells us the contract is signed. What do we know?
Yeah, look, Tebow is going to go out there and try and make the team as a tight end. My understanding is that he's taking it seriously, regardless of how anyone else is taking it, and he's going to try and have a little sort of second career here in the NFL at a different position. You know, Urban Meyer obviously coached him in college, so there's the connection there, and it's, you know, the perception around the league is that Meyer is doing a favor for his guy, giving him a shot, and that there's some that think that Meyer is trying to sort of deflect attention away from Trevor Lawrence as he heads into his first training camp. Not sure why that would be necessary, but there's a lot of theories as to why this is happening. Very few people think it's going to work, but Tim Tebow is certainly among those that do, and at least he's going to give it his best shot.
The skepticism dripping literally from every word of that reporting from Dan Graziano pretty much tells you everything
that
you need to know about the way most people view this. So Damian Woody, I mean, I'm looking at Mel already shaking his head, but D. Wood, I just take me inside that locker room now. You're a player on the Jaguars, and this guy, and Tim Tebow comes running out onto the field with all of the history that is involved here. What thoughts going through your mind, D. Wood?
I don't give a damn, basically. Like, if you're not a good player, players are not going to follow you. See, that's what's missing in this whole equation. You're talking about a guy who's, what, 33 years old, who's playing a totally different position, and there's some people out there that think that, oh, all these guys are going to gravitate and follow him. That's not how it works in professional sports. It doesn't work that way. Like, you got to be a really good player, first and foremost, in order for guys to even attempt to follow you as a player. So This is a Herculean challenge for a guy like Tim Tebow. This at this point in his athletic career to go change positions and all of a sudden try to help change the culture in Jacksonville. Call me a skeptic.
All right, so that's two votes for a skeptic. Mel Kiper, what do you think?
I saw Tim Tebow catching balls prior to a game really early on, Greeny. I said before he became an NFL player, this is back in Florida, he should be an H-back. And I remember Tim came on the radio with me and said, Mel, I'm a quarterback. If you like me touching the ball, why not if I touch the ball on every play? I said, no, as an H-back, not a quarterback. So he says he's serious now. I wish Tim would have been serious at age 22, not at age 34, which he will be when this season begins. The Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer don't need any stunts. They don't need any gadget plays. They don't need anything to bring attention to their team. They don't need anything to get the attention of the fans, to get fans to come out and watch the Jaguars. That's why you have Trevor Lawrence. That's why you took the job. You have a team that had a good draft, a team that has some talent, has a great young quarterback. Why would you want to bring that traveling circus to your town with all eyes and all the talk about Tim Tebow, who at age 34 can't be a major asset to a football team? Like I said, I wish you would have taken it seriously then, with the Jets he looked like a fish out of water playing that position. And now all of a sudden at age 34 coming up, he's going to be able to come into the NFL and be an H-back. Good luck.
Yes, those are the different pieces of this, D. Wood. I mean, there's the football piece of it, which is I've not heard from anyone who believes he has a real chance to be an impactful player at the position. There's the leadership piece of it. If Urban Meyer is trying to create a culture and thinks Tim Tebow is someone who can help him create the culture that he wants, can he do that?
No, he can't do that, Greeny. Like, the biggest thing, if you're going to be a guy who's going to be a leader, you got to be a good player. That's the whole thing. You can't be a guy who's a second, third team guy or a guy who's on the bubble as far as the roster concerned. If you first and foremost, you got to be one of the best players on the team. You got to be a guy that excels either on offense, defense, or on special teams. That's it. You can't be a bubble guy and then be all of a sudden this cultural leader that's going to galvanize, you know, that's going to bring everybody together. It just doesn't work that way. You have to be good somewhere on that team. And that's why I said I'm a skeptic as far as this whole circus with Tim Tebow.
And so, Dan Graziano, what happens now? He goes to the off-season program. What happens?
Well, again, he's going to try and learn the tight end position on the fly in an NFL, you know, OTA, mini camp, training camp situation. And there'll come a time in early September where the Jaguars have to cut their roster down. And I would think the expectation would be he would be among those cuts. But again, Greeny, I mean, you know, he thinks he can do it. Leadership, you know, guys following him. Best case scenario, he's the third string tight end. I don't recall a lot of teams in NFL history where the third string tight end was the leader, was the culture setter. It's got to be Trevor Lawrence's team going forward. But, you know, Tebow's, like I said, he's going to give it a shot. I guess it would be a pretty big upset if he pulled it off.
Well, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then Damian Woody just wrote a book. Mel, give us a very quick final thought.
It's got to be the GM saying no, Urban. That's, again, where Urban's kind of doing the thing down there. He said, okay, let's go back to my Florida days. This is a great leader, great energy. It's going to be the GM's got to say no. Bill Polian or somebody strong, a veteran GM, a Hall of Fame GM's there. He's not coming to your football team.
Okay, we will leave that thought there. Damian Woody, just hold that face. We're coming back to it as we continue this morning. But hold on. We have another topic worthy of leading the show. I'm going to flashback with you all the way to Tuesday when Spencer Turnbull of the Tigers threw the fifth no-hitter of the Major League season. And then yesterday, Buster Olney came on this show and said this.
All these no-hitters. 5 this year, the record in any season is 8, and the general manager told me at the beginning of April that we might see 15 to 20 this year. It looks like he could be dead on.
Well, it looks like Buster might have been dead on because we had another no-hitter last night. It was the no-hitter of the night. If it's a day of the week that ends in Y, it's going to have a no-hitter. And oh, by the way, Corey Kluber, it was his bobblehead last night. Bobblehead night on the road. He pitched for Texas 1 inning last year, but they had all the bobbleheads hanging out. So he comes in as a Yankee. They gave out the bobbleheads, and then he was dishing out K's. You see him striking out people left and right. He would go to the ninth with no hits allowed in a 2-0 game. The leadoff hitter in the ninth, Charlie Culberson. DJ LeMahieu, right place, right time. We're 2 outs away from another no-hitter. The next batter is David Dahl. David Dahl smashes one to right. On his horse is Tyler Wade. He's going to make the catch. We were one out away. And the next batter is Willie Calhoun. Here we go for history. At least for the moment, Gleyber Torres. There it is. The 12th no-hitter in Yankees history. The 6th no-hitter of this baseball season. Kluber, one walk, 9 Ks, no hits. Yankees win it by a score of 2-0. Kluber is the 4th pitcher to throw a no-hitter this month. It's just the 2nd month ever in which there were 4 no-hitters. The 6 this season are the most ever before June 1st. Do you think this is great? If you do, Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw disagrees. Here's what he says.
Well, it's not good. I'll tell you that. I think whatever the intention was with the new ball or whatever it may be, it really hasn't done anything. No hitters are cool, and I have all the respect in the world for Corey Kluber and Bum and all those guys that have thrown no hitters. But to have one happen every night, it seems like is probably not good for the game.
Probably not good for the game, says Clayton Kershaw. What does Buster Olney say?
He is absolutely dead on. And you hate the fact that this whole conversation about diminished offense and dominant pitching takes away from an accomplishment of someone like Corey Kluber, a former Cy Young Award winner, battled his way back from injuries, and then looks like he's rebuilding his career with the Yankees, has a dominant night. But the fact is, within the sport, it is a major concern. The league-wide batting average right now, .236, that's on pace to be the lowest in the modern era. The league-wide strikeout rate, 9.2 per 9 innings, that is the highest since the modern era. This is a major conversation within baseball, and it's going to continue for the rest of the summer.
I understand that completely, but if I could just sort of use this as the illustration, what you're talking about is a disease, which is a lack of offense in baseball. That's a problem, I agree. The symptom, which is all these no-hitters, I would completely disagree that that's a bad thing for the sport. That is exciting. I think fans are into it. Yes, it is reflective of a bigger problem, but if you're going to get a bunch of no-hitters every single night, or a bunch of them in over the course of a season, I would disagree that this is bad for baseball. I think it's something to pay close attention to, and it's fun.
Much like in 1998, everyone was excited to see McGuire and Sosa hitting a bunch of home runs and having the home run race, and everyone kind of put to the side the whole issue of what was going on behind the scenes, and that was the rise of PEDs. And I think you're right. If you're Major League Baseball, you have to market the no-hitters for now while having that conversation about what you need to do next.
All right, this is another one we're going to have to argue about on the radio, because if there's one thing I think we know for certain, it's that when it comes to these things, I'm usually right and you're usually wrong. That is Robert Stanberry Olney III with the very latest on this just ridiculous day. We got no-hitters, we got Tim Tebow, and we got a thriller in the NBA, and that's where we're going next. Last night, LeBron James proving again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Why the King was great precisely when his team needed him. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and a reminder on what might be the busiest day of the year. The PGA Championship is underway. There's Bryson DeChambeau, has to be considered one of the favorites. He'll tee off in about 15 minutes in the year's 2nd major. And remember, all of the coverage is coming up here on ESPN. It is the 103rd PGA Championship, and the coverage begins today, 1 o'clock Eastern Time from Kiawah. First round coverage already underway on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. If you are just joining us, another quick look at the thriller from the NBA last night. LeBron versus Steph, living up to the hype and then some. Picking this up in the fourth quarter, the Lakers had overcome a big deficit. They had a two-point lead, and there was LeBron heating up when his team needs him. Steph Curry can't do anything but applaud as he watches. But then Steph would come back in the game, and he could do plenty. Steph working around Dennis Schroeder. The floater is good. Steph would score 37. The Warriors at a three-point lead. Then more drama here. LeBron James going up. Draymond Green taking him down. The poke in the eye here is really what did the most damage. They would review it. They call it a common foul. No flagrant there. LeBron would stay in the game and make the foul shot. Then here's the nice dish inside. Alex Caruso to Anthony Davis to give the Lakers a two-point lead. And then 30 seconds left in a tie game. LeBron James, shot clock winding down. That three-pointer winds up being the difference. LeBron would score 22. Steph, again, with 37. But it's the Lakers who win it 103-100 and clinch the seventh seed along the way. And so here is PJ Carlissimo, who rejoins us here. And again, what can we say about that shot? I mean, there's LeBron, even on a night where he was struggling offensively, particularly in the first half, finishes only 7 of 17. But when they need him, he knocks in that big three.
No surprise, and you could see it. It was a great exchange between Steph and him because the respect is obvious, but they literally expect each other to do things like this. I mean, he shouldn't have been expecting the ball. KCP was in there, but it was well defended, nothing to do. I'm watching the game trying to figure out whether he's on the E or the R in Staples Center. He's closer to half court than he is the three-point line. Nothing but net. And it was really funny hearing him talk to Rachel Greene. He said he saw three baskets up there, so he shot for the middle one. He may very well be telling the truth, but that's what LeBron James, that's what Steph Curry does. That's why they are who they are.
That's after the poke in the eye. But again, you mentioned Steph. It was the two biggest stars in the NBA on display last night. And again, Steph, who is going to get a lot of consideration for MVP this year. Again, his number spectacular. 37 points on just 23 shots. He was 6 of 9 from 3. Anytime he found an inch, he knocked it down. How about the performance of Steph Curry last night?
He was incredible because the defense he was facing was set up, and it really made him work. I mean, he had to work so hard to even get a shot off. It was difficult. The difference was in the first half when he passed the ball around, he had other teammates stepping up. There's Bazemore knocking down a shot. A lot of different people made threes for them in the first half, and that was important. Andrew Wiggins had an excellent game. JTA did a really good job. But Steph had to work so hard to even get a look. He came back in. Everybody knew he didn't have that kind of help in the second half, but he was still able to manufacture shots. He had trouble getting the three off, so he had to put it on the floor and get to the rim, Greeny. He had a couple of these little runners over the big men, and he followed it. He's impossible to defend. His handle is so good. He and Kyrie Irving are so good when they go inside using the glass. They shoot it as high up on the backboard as they have to make the shot. That's such a difficult shot. He makes it look routine. He's been magnificent. Absolutely incredible. That game shouldn't be competitive. The Lakers have a lot more talent, but Steph made it competitive.
So let's talk about where he sits right now. He goes home to take on Ja Morant in Memphis tomorrow night. Steph at 33, playing as hard as he did, 41 minutes on the floor last night, as hard as he has to work to get open. How do you see that game tomorrow night if the league is looking? Everyone, I think, with no disrespect intended to Memphis, you know, we want to see Steph Curry make it into the playoffs. How do you see tomorrow night?
They've got their work cut out for them, I think, because of the front line. Taylor Jenkins has done an unbelievable job. Memphis is really good. Greeny, they lead the league in points in the paint. Points off turnovers, they're third. Second chance points, they're first. They beat you up inside. That's where it's going to really be a challenge, I think, for the Warriors, keeping them off the glass. Jonas Valanciunas was the difference in the game last night. Over 20 points, over 20 rebounds. And John Morant, obviously, they run the floor so well. You turn the ball over against them, forget about it. They are tough. This is going to be a very difficult game for the Warriors.
Boy, this postseason, and technically we're not even in the postseason yet, but it has really started with a bang. PJ Carlissimo, outstanding. Thank you. And now you've got that game tomorrow night, and we've got these two coming up in an hour. Do not miss Stephen A. and Charles Barkley together live here on Get Up 1 hour from now on ESPN. In the meantime, back to the NFL we go again, and the Eagles, where the new head coach Nick Sirianni has yet to name his team's starting quarterback, citing the importance of competition at the position. Well, yesterday, Jalen Hurts was asked about that, and here is what he said.
I'm not above anything with a competition or a football IQ. All the values we have, I'm not above none of that. So everybody got to go to work, you know. So for me, I know rent is due every day. It's always been that way for me. Grow every day, be a better leader every day, be a better quarterback every day. And when that rent's due, I don't plan on missing no payments.
Okay, so I'm going to use that from now on. The rent is due, and I don't plan to miss any payments. Those are all the right things to say. But Dan Graziano, in reality, as my insider extraordinaire, is there any reason to believe that there is really a quarterback competition with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia?
No. Do you want more? No.
Would you expand on that thought just briefly, please? Yes, thank you.
Are you asking a yes or no question? You know, look, they bring in Nick Sirianni, who's a young head coach. He's got a young coaching staff. They feel like this is a coach and a coaching staff that can grow with the young quarterback, Jalen Hurts. That's the ideal plan in Philadelphia, and that's the plan going forward. He's not going to come out and say Hurts is the starter because, you know, he's a new coach. He's trying to establish a certain sort of, you know, ethos with the team. Like, everybody's got to compete for their spot. So if I'm a coach and I'm telling you everybody's got to compete for the spot except the quarterback, then why should you buy into what I'm saying? You know, so I think this is just coach stuff. They didn't bring him in, Nick Sirianni, to grow and develop with Joe Flacco. Hurts is the guy going forward, barring an injury or some kind of sort of ridiculous training camp situation where it looks like he just can't handle it. But so far, it seems like he can.
That's the second time today, D. Wood, that you have laughed about a story that we are talking about, but I can't argue with it. But in all seriousness, like, if you're a veteran on that team and you hear Jalen Hurts saying that kind of stuff, what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, listen, Dan is right. You know, Jalen knows that it's his job, but I think Jalen, you know, every coach wants certain guys to help the team buy into the program and what he's trying to bring over there. So, listen, Jalen Hurts have been in a situation where it was at Alabama with Tua, where he had to, you know, fight, you know, for that starting spot, and then going over to Oklahoma and reestablishing himself, and then obviously getting drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles with that dynamic between him and Carson Wentz. You know, nothing's really been handed to Jalen Hurts at all. So, you know, if you want a guy that's going to help implement the type of culture that he wants to bring to Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts is the exact type of guy, because he's going to bring his lunch pail each and every day. But Jalen Hurts know right off the bat, he's not competing with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's at the end of his career, but he's going to help set the culture within that facility.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, Mel, it's interesting, as D. Wood is talking, it does occur to me that despite him not being officially handed the job, it's about as secure in the starting role as he has been anywhere in a very long time. How do you see the situation right now with Jalen Hurts in Philly, Mel?
Well, they could have gone out and moved from 12 to 10 and getting Justin Fields or Mac Jones. They didn't. So that showed the commitment that they had. The owner had said that. We're committed to, Jeffrey Lurie did, to Jalen Hurts. And then draft day rolls around, go from 6 down to 12 and then back up to 10. You say, okay, we're going to take Devontae Smith, reunite him with Jalen Hurts, and move forward there, getting him a big-time weapon to help him out in the passing game, rather than taking a quarterback who could maybe be a little better or could challenge him. So I think that told you a lot on draft day. And you think about Joe Flacco. I like Jamie Newman, brought in his undrafted free agent. I like the development he could have down the road. But for right now, it is Jalen Hurts. He's a classy kid, great character. He's a winner. His accuracy improved. He could be a really good, really successful dual-threat quarterback. He was viewed as an accent piece when they drafted him, like Tebow should have been an accent piece at age 22, not at 34. Jalen Hurts is much more than an accent piece, guys. Hey, Jalen Hurts is the man in Philadelphia right now.
All roads seem to lead back in that direction at almost all times, and I can't argue with it. In the meantime, I need everyone to just take a moment and experience this together. This is Derrick Henry in the gym, and this is Derrick Henry squatting. Damian Woody, I can't even count the plates on that thing, but I see you nodding. Of the four of us, you're probably the only one who can relate to this. What is the most you ever squatted?
Yeah, 675 for me, Greeny. When you put that much on, the bar is bending. So I see that bar bending a little bit. He got what we call 18-wheelers on that right there. He got some 18-wheelers on that. That's a big boy right there. I feel sorry for DBs who got to tackle him next year.
When you say 675, you mean pounds?
Yes, that's pounds, Greeny. That's not ounces. That's pounds.
I mean, I'm just doing some quick math in my head. If you took Graziano, Mel, and me and put each of us on either side of that bar, you could squat us. Like the three of us could sit on one side and we could sit on the other side or find three equal sized people and you could squat all six of us.
Pretty much, Greeny, yeah. Stack another guy on there, too. Well,
it's a good idea for a segment.
Good measure. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
It's a very nonchalant response you have there. That is Derek Henry. By the way, he's still going. We've been having this conversation for a very long time, and Derek Henry is still squatting all of that weight. All right, as we continue, most did not expect LeBron and Steph to meet in the play-in game. As it turns out, it was exactly what the sport needed. We'll explain why next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up. What a night it was in sports. Here are your morning wake-up calls.
One to Calhoun. Hit on the ground a second. Torres throws to first. In time. Ball game over. Corey Kluber has pitched a no-hitter. And the Yankees are delirious on the field, celebrating with Corey Kluber in the middle.
Back of the net. Samsonov stops it. Getting there is Smith. Wraparound. He scores! It's a double overtime winner. Bruins victorious 3-2, and they lead the series 2-1.
Caldwell Pope inside. He's tied up by Green. Throws it back up top. James puts up the break. Oh, it's gone. LeBron James from downtown as the shot clock expires. A desperation heave, and the Lakers are up 3.
What a night it was all around the world of sports, and what a morning this is going to continue to be. We're about 45 minutes away from Stephen A. and Charles Barkley joining us live together. Do not miss it here as Get Up continues on ESPN. And oh, by the way, the year's second major is underway. That is a picture of the Ocean Course in beautiful Kiowa, South Carolina, as the PGA Championship is underway. And let's give you a little taste of what our coverage will look like throughout the day. Matt Barry is standing by with that. Matt, take it away.
Hey, Greeny, good morning. I know you love some golf. You would love this picturesque setting here, Kiowa Island, the Ocean Course in South Carolina. We've got featured groups all over the course. And I can tell you this, some of the best players in the world are already struggling on this Pete Dye layout, which we knew was going to be contested with pin placements. Not really the conditions we're talking about early on, just a really tough golf course. For more, we go to Scott Van Pelt in our first round coverage on ESPN+. Good morning, Scott.
Tringali, early leader at 200 par. And while that was going on, up ahead at the green, Thomas is third. That's lovely.
Oh, that looks like one of them might escape in the park.
To seven.
And our first look at this downwind par five. Bouncing up there, Tringali, who is our leader at 2 under par. and it's going to tumble down.
Now McIlroy's fourth.
Bit more ball than probably anticipated, bring it back into the wind.
What a shot to 11.
Oh, we saw the great second shot to convert the eagle. Zach Johnson does. First eagle of this PGA championship for Zach Johnson, two under par through two holes.
Koepka, this will leak right.
Yeah, we haven't seen anybody miss left. And
that's for bogey, so a couple feet for double. On 14.
.238 on the scorecard, just playing 206 today, back into the breeze. Very well executed. Good, solid golf shot. Ricky's looking in good form so far early in this round.
Very good.
That's fantastic. Thomas for par. I feel like a whole lot better than just a four on the card, given what's going on around him. Now Hatton on 14. 206 could play basically 40 yards longer if the PGA of America chose to back it up a bit. And that is another tremendous tee shot here.
I love that song.
Keep clapping.
We're like continuing to clap.
Rory for bogey. And he limits the damage. So a lost tee shot. Takes his drop. Makes five. 15.
Here's Rob LeBritz, club professional, playing in his eighth PGA championship.
Get it.
Yes. Rolls that one in for his first birdie. Even par for Rob LeBritz.
Koepka to finish up here.
Just another disastrous start, Scott. Making double on that. Fairly straightforward 10th hole.
As we saw very early in the morning, Adam Scott had 7, now Koepka 6 to 12.
And the second for Scotty Scheffler. His name was thrown around as somebody who could really play well here this week for such a young man. Beautifully played.
That's the third for Cameron Tringali. We saw a really good second shot roll all the way through, and he chips it to have a good chance for a birdie. Back to the 10th.
Say good morning to Colt Nost, who's with this group.
Good morning, Scott. Colin Morikawa, just 116 yards left, going downwind. Tough to get this one close. There's a downslope right in front of the pin.
Yeah, Colt, we've seen very few shots stop even hole high. And just keep bounding by. This is one of the better golf shots we've seen so far today.
Took up about a yard of turf with it to 11.
Par 5, Justin Thomas on the tee after he made the lone par.
Wind still behind the players. He's very comfortable starting it down the left and cutting it, which would be the shot here. Just into the left rough, and it looks like it's settled. That will probably eliminate.
All right, so that a look at what's going on ESPN Plus this morning. All featured groups are on the course. And I tell you what, one of the statistics we've been talking about throughout the week, scrambling ability. You're going to need it. There's a look at what you can get right now on ESPN Plus. All featured groups, featured holes. It's going to be a fun day. Greeny, back to you.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. Looking forward to that all day. And then this weekend, what a stacked lineup we had. We've got the PGA on ESPN today and tomorrow. And again, the early morning coverage is on ESPN+. We have the NBA playoffs throughout the day Saturday on ESPN and ABC. We've got the junior welterweight unification bout between Josh Ramirez and Josh Taylor on Saturday night. Excuse me, that's Jose Ramirez and Josh Taylor Saturday night. And then Sunday morning on ESPN2, the Monaco Grand Prix will start your day. What a lineup. What a time this is going to be. Meanwhile, we have a huge hour coming your way. LeBron James was clutch, but were the Lakers exposed last night? How deep of a run can they make? We dive into that as we continue off the top of the next hour. And then don't miss Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith live together in our next hour right here. Get up on ESPN.